This is What's It Like with Dr. Ken Tangen.
Hi, I'm Ken Tangen. This is episode 44 of What's It Like. My guest is Krista Stevens, reader, writer, and editor. Did I get those in the right order?
You did, but any order works for me.
Where did you grow up, Krista?
I was born and raised in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I think it's about 5 miles from the geographical center of North America, which is kind of neat.
Did you grow up in a large family?
No. I have sort of both. So my parents both had very large families. My mom had 9 brothers and sisters, and my dad had 11. But my immediate family is just the 4 of us: my mom, my dad, my brother, and myself. So kind of a small family within a very large family.
Mm-hmm.
So the best of both worlds, really.
So what is Manitoba like?
Manitoba is fantastic. It is a place of extremes in that you get to enjoy the intensity of each season in the fullest. The winters are quite harsh. It can get very cold here, but the summers are actually very beautiful and can get quite hot. So we get all of it here, which is really fantastic. It's the outdoors is beautiful. It's a prairie province, so the beauty of the prairie is very stark, and it's very different throughout the seasons, with the greens in the summers, the white, mm-hmm. very much white in the winter, and you know the beautiful colors that we get in the fall.
No subtle seasons.
There's no subtlety in the season. You definitely know what season you're in at any given time.
When you were growing up, who had the largest or the biggest influence on your life?
Oh, gosh. My parents were and continue to be highly influential with me. They're among my biggest fans, I'm lucky to say. My folks are very supportive of me and always have. And I remember my dad from a very young age, and I think this is fairly progressive for a dad in the 70s. I remember him telling me when I was a very young girl that I could be anything I wanted to be when I grew up, which I think for the time, like I say, makes him a fairly progressively minded dad. Mm-hmm. And I never grew up feeling any limitations. I always felt that if there was something that stopped me from doing something, it was me who did that, not any type of, there was never any constraints placed on me in my environment. My dad was always really encouraging, and so was my mom too.
So what was your major challenge as a child?
My major challenge, math. That definitely would have been my major challenge as a child. I was always into language. That was something that interested me. And I used to struggle with math. I remember crying over fractions as a kid and having to do times tables. And it was the bane of my existence as a child. But thankfully now we have calculators and you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
That's true.
But yeah, that was my biggest, those were always my biggest hardships in school was getting that stuff done. It changed as I grew older, was able to see the logic in math eventually. But numbers didn't make sense to me when I was younger.
Is there a childhood experience, do you think, that has contributed most to who you are today?
I'm not sure that one sticks out specifically. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to roll through my memory bank here, but I don't think there's anything like a defining moment per se that shaped me or anything like that. I think I was very fortunate to have a family that, not only both parents in the family were there and having a brother and a strong family situation, but growing up, I was always encouraged to work very hard and instilled a very strong work ethic within me. And I think that, more than anything else, has probably defined the way I approach things and what I do, what I've done with my life so far. Yeah, I was always encouraged to work hard, and I think that has, if anything specific other than a defining moment, that would be it.
Hmm. What was school like for you?
School was good. I mean, I really liked school. I did fairly well in school up until about high school, when we all tend to get a little bit distracted probably by things that we shouldn't. But I loved reading and literature and English and writing, and that sort of defined me growing up. It was how I made my career choices. In fact, I'd sort of made my choices on what I felt strong at, as opposed to what other things that I didn't feel quite as accomplished in. And it's kind of led me on the path that I followed throughout my adult life and my careers.
Did you go to college or university?
I went to college. We have an institution in Winnipeg called Red River College, and I have a diploma in communications with a major in public relations.
So what was the best and the worst part of that experience?
The best part of that experience was getting to go to school with people from all age groups. I was very young when I went. I took a year off of high school and then was going through the application process and started full-time the following year. But there were people in my class from all walks of life, people who had had children, people who, you know, were looking at a second career. So it was really valuable for me to see, to hear their stories and to gain from the life experiences that they had, because it was a tight, close-knit group. You know, it was a very intense program, and so we spent a lot of time working together and commiserating on stuff, and it was a powerful experience for me.
I want to find out what a typical day is like for Krista, but while she thinks about that, let me thank you for your generosity. This has been a fun project all along the way, but in every step, people have been very helpful and big-hearted. If you would like to contribute, you'd like to donate to the cause, we have no advertisers, so click on the donate button at whatsitlike.info, and thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
So did you always want to be a designer?
I guess I couldn't. I'm more of a writer-editor than a designer. I have done a little bit of design in the past. Have built my own websites from scratch, and that's sort of what got me on the road to where I am now. But primarily, I'm kind of in the role that I have now, I'm more of a customer advocate, that kind of thing. So,
did you like the process of becoming a writer-editor?
Oh, yes. Yes. I had really some really good experiences. I got the chance and still get the chance to work with some amazing editors. And I think as an editor, that's how you learn, is to see other people do that work. I mean, there's always there's a sort of a self-study component, I think, to any type of editing work. But to be able to talk about that with other people who do the same kind of work and find out what their personal preferences are and the things that they look for, I think is always really educational.
So what exactly do you do?
So I have... right now, I'm the community manager for PollDaddy.com and SurveyDaddy.com. And so in that role, I work with our customers directly. I find out what it is that they love about our product, what it is about the product that they think we need to be improved. I work with our developers to get those improvements in place. I keep our support documents up to the minute accurate. I do everything from support tickets to customer phone calls to blog posts. Most recently, I was in Utah last week working with some of my automatic folks working on a happiness bar for a conference. And what that is where people will come up with their WordPress questions and queries, and we will try to answer them and troubleshoot on the spot. So I'm lucky that I get a really great variety in what I do. And that's kind of my day job. And I also do some volunteer activities with A List Apart magazine, which is an online magazine for people who make websites. That's at alistapart.com. Mm-hmm. And so we publish 2 issues a month, every other week, and 2 feature-length articles about topics that are related to web design. And so I edit that. And I do some copy editing for A Book Apart as well, which is sort of the book imprint of the magazine. And various other little sideline editing projects for other authors and stuff. And most recently edited a book called Adaptive Web Design by an author by the name of Aaron Gustafson. So, yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate. I get a ton of great projects to work on, and I feel really fulfilled in my volunteer and work life.
What's the best thing about your job?
I think it's the people that I get to meet. I'm really fortunate, especially with Automatic. We are a completely distributed company, and so we all work from our homes or local cafes or wherever it is that we want to work from in the world. And having the chance to get to know and meet people from every corner of the globe has been such an exciting experience. Everybody you meet teaches you something. If you care to watch and observe and learn a little bit from them when they talk, and I think that's it as well. I get the same experience with A List Apart in my editing role, in that we publish authors from all around the world, and so I get the chance to correspond with them and learn about them. And I think it's really enriched my life experience.
What's the worst thing about your job?
I really love my job. I'm trying to think of what the worst thing is. Maybe things, just getting things done as quickly as I want. You know, I'm a little bit impatient sometimes. If I see something, you know, if there's a customer thing that I want to do, but I have to, you know, I have to understand that people have priorities and, you know, that I can't always dictate what everybody else is doing.
What has surprised you about the process then?
I think the lack of email that we use, like I say, we have, I think we're up to 93 people around the world in our company. And within my small team on Pole Daddy, there's six of us. My guys are spread out in Ireland, England, and the United States. And we very rarely email one another. We correspond a lot in IRC. We have a little project. There's a theme within WordPress called P2, and it's kind of like a real time. I guess the thing that I could equate it to, or at least compare it to, would be Twitter. It's kind of like Twitter, only you're not limited to 140 characters, and it's real time. In that, if someone makes a comment on a P2, and I reply to that comment, that person will automatically see that appear before their eyes if they're online at the same time, and visiting the P2. So it's a super tool for us to communicate, especially across time zones, because like right now for me, it's just after one, my developers are done for the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're in Europe, and so they're finished. And it's great in that when you're working, during your workday, you can log in whenever you need to, and you can participate in that conversation and keep it going across the miles and very disparate time zones.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pole Daddy is a widget or a plugin for a WordPress site that takes a poll.
Yeah, we have... Pole Daddy started off as a plugin, and it's actually a web application. There's sort of a couple of different versions of that. We have a WordPress.org plugin that you can install to have polls and ratings on your site. And the web application allows you to embed poll surveys, quizzes, and ratings on your site as well. And we have some WordPress short codes that make that really easy if you're a WordPress.com user. If not, there's ways to do it using JavaScript. And it's kind of neat because it's polls and surveys are great for creating engagement with visitors. You know, it's a way to reach out to people, ask them questions about what they think. And then for business owners, especially surveys, is to, you know, to be able to help them improve their business, find out what their customers are thinking, find out what their employees are thinking. So it's a good tool.
What type of person would be good at your job?
Wow. I think someone who has empathy, I think is super important quality. I think it's really important to put yourself in the customer or the user's shoes and try to see the problem from their standpoint. And as you get more and more familiar with it, it becomes more and more difficult to do. We have folks around the world using the product, and with varying, you know, they'll write to me in the language of their choice, you know, and, you know, through the magic of Google Translate, we can communicate. And I think that's fantastic. But it's always important to remember that, you know, anyone who's writing to you or they need help, that they have a certain context, and that every context is a little bit different from the next. And it's important to respect that context.
So what is a typical day for you?
Typical day for me, I'm really lucky, like I say, we're with a distributed workforce. We set our own hours, so I have fantastic flexibility, which I absolutely love. So what I typically do, my husband being a school principal, the summers are just a little bit different, but during the school year, I get up and I work from home, so I go put the coffee on, let the dogs out, and then I sit down at my desk and I start to work. I go through support tickets, I answer customer emails, try to get caught up on what might have happened on the P2 in the wee hours of the morning in North America when the developers have already been up and at it. Chime in on conversations, and then, you know, could write a blog post or two, fix, you know, checking on support documents, but also been making some short video screencasts, which have been tremendously exciting. Absolutely love the opportunity to learn that skill. It's been fantastic. Lunchtime, I try to get out. Sometimes it could be simple as just doing yard work, you know, at lunchtime, pushing the lawnmower around, getting the yard cleaned up, or going for a run or a bike ride in the neighborhood in the afternoon. A bit more work. And then in the evenings, I like to do, that's when I do my volunteer stuff after work, you know, after supper. And I'll be, you know, sending some email for a list apart, or, you know, doing some editing, that kind of stuff. So that's kind of a typical day. I like to wind down. My husband and I like to watch different shows on TV, so we usually do it by DVD style, so we'll watch an episode, you know, at our leisure, but the other of us are really huge TV people. It's just as we have time.
Mm-hmm. Krista will tell you what you should do with your life right after I remind you of the good work being done by the ALS Association. As a child, all I knew about ALS is that Lou Gehrig, the baseball player, had the disease, but I didn't really pay much attention. Then my mom was diagnosed with ALS in 1987 and died the following year. Now I had some personal experience. This is a terrible disease. It's not contagious, but it is very progressive. It's a neuromuscular disorder that gradually kills you. It starts from the extremities and works its way toward the middle, or starts at the middle and works its way outward. In either case, the motor neurons that connect your brain to your muscles begin to die for some unknown reason. In ALS, the muscles work fine, at least they would if they got signals from the brain. But since the motor neurons that carry the instructions are dying off, there are no signals, and no signals means jittery movement and then no movement at all. So you die because your heart stops beating, your breathing stops, or because you catch something like pneumonia. To cure ALS or prevent it, we have to find out how these motor neurons work and how to keep them alive. So if you want to become a researcher, this is a good place for you to look. And if research isn't your thing, but you want to help, go to ALSA.org and donate to the ALS Association. Your help would be greatly appreciated. So, Krista, everyone has to give themselves motivation occasionally. How do you give yourself a kick in the pants?
Oh, that's a really good question. Sometimes, you know, if you kind of get bogged down in the middle of a project, I always try to imagine as best I can in the most detail what this project is going to look like when it's done. Mm-hmm. And try to fully imagine the benefit that it's going to have for other people. And that, trying to see that end, is what really keeps me going. So when you help users and they're grateful and they'll send you thanks, that's always a huge motivator. You know, it's something to keep in your back pocket. Say if you're having a bad day, to go look at one of those nice emails. We call them hugs, which is kind of a cool name for them. To go check out a hug or two and it's like, yep, do it. I'm doing good here. Let's just keep doing that good.
When you have to calm yourself, how do you soothe yourself?
I have three dogs, and so the easiest way to do that and the best way is to just go outside with them, relax in the backyard, or maybe pick up one and give them a snuggle. Like, there's nothing like holding your pet to, I think that's even a bona fide scientific fact. When you have your pet and you're petting your pet or you're holding on to your pet, it's something that, you know, reduces your blood pressure and just it's a completely soothing activity.
Is there an event in your life that has challenged you to the core?
Yeah, I could say for certain that there was definitely. I'm not sure what I can or should share about that, but there definitely was, and I think I'm a stronger person for it. Let's put it that way.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there an idea or a principle that helped you through your challenges?
That's a really good question. I think believe in yourself is probably one. It's sometimes when you're kind of in the middle of that, you know, that morass, I guess you could say, it's difficult to remember that, but mm-hmm. and that things will get better over time. I think that's the two things. If you can manage to hang on to those two pieces of faith, then I think you'll be okay.
If you were giving a commencement address for high school or college, what would you say? What would be your best advice?
Oh gosh, wow. What an incredible question. I would say to follow your dreams no matter how crazy they are. Never set limits for yourself. Because truly, and going back to what my dad says, I think we are the ones who limit ourselves. People, we often say, I think as a society, that sometimes limits are placed upon us. I don't really believe in that. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you choose to, you can surpass any limit that anyone places on you. Volunteer, do good for other people, and, you know, follow your dreams. Life is short and you must live every moment as best you can. And life is way too short to be stuck in a job that you don't like.
My last question is really about helping me get better at this process. If you think of a defining moment in your life that we haven't talked about, what story would you tell? And what question should I have asked you to get you to tell me that story?
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not sure there's been any defining moment in my life. I've received some really good advice to help set context in the past. And this is the one woman that I had worked for. She'd actually given me every job I'd ever had up until this one. And she was quite influential in my life. She took me on as a student when I was doing work placement way back in my college days, and I was able to get a job as a result of that, and then followed her to a different employer. And one of the things that we would talk about, we tried to gauge public opinion, employee opinion about stuff, and we'd say, people are saying this, and it would be, you know, X, Y, Z. And she would always say, how many people are saying that? You know, so, you know, the whole idea of digging a little that, and taking that further, it's not just, you know, into that sort of one surface context, but the whole idea of digging deeper, ask more questions. And that's something that I've taken with me and I've always had in my back pocket ever since, and has been an invaluable skill, you know, just to have. I think that's fantastic. It's interesting to be interviewed, because when I was in a lot of the work that I'd done in public relations, I'd done a lot of interviewing. So I'm kind of in a different seat right now, which is interesting. But one good interviewing question that we were always taught to ask that can be very insightful is there anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to share or that you'd like to cover? Because you're really giving the platform back to the interviewee to, you know, if there was something burning that they wanted to get out, that they wanted to say. That's kind of like the...
So, Krista, is there anything you'd like to talk about? Anything you'd like to share?
No, other than the fact I think this is an absolutely incredible project, I think, and I'm honored to be asked. I think that the idea of trying to help young people decide upon a career by interviewing others about their jobs and their work life is invaluable. I wish I had had that when I was in school, because I think, you know, people have ideas about what the kind of work that they want to do. But I think what I can say is try to imagine yourself in the day to day. You know, do you like to commute? Do you like to dress up for your work? Do you want to work from home? Do you like to work with your hands? Like, try to imagine yourself in any job that you think could be something that you want to do. Mm-hmm. And what does that day to day look like for you? Do you work with people? Do you work alone? Are you on a team? Do you have to solve problems? Like, what are the aspects of that job that are going to make up your days?
How did you know you wanted to be an editor?
I always knew I wanted to do something like that, because I loved, ever since I was a little kid, I loved books. The sharpest memories I have from grade school is being read to. I remember, so one of my earliest memories is my mom taking me to the library, you know, and we'd go, you know, get out books and they would read, you know, which she'd read to me all the time. And having that story time when I was a young child in school were some of my favorite moments of school. There's nothing like sitting back and listening to someone tell you a story. And I wanted to be able to participate in that and be able to shape those experiences for others. And I think I've been able to do that, not in a fiction kind of way, at least not yet, but I think I've been able to shape the reading experience for a lot of people. And for me, that's really, it's a really satisfying experience, really satisfying job.
I want to thank Krista Stevens for joining me today. Thanks, Krista. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken. This has been a real thrill. Thank you so much.